Well, this morning we're starting a sermon series on the book of Hebrews. And we're going to do this for probably the next couple of months or so. And we'll try to get through around about a chapter a week. So we're not going to be able to go super deep, but Hebrews is quite a deep book in itself. So we're going to... And the book of Hebrews is about... it was written to Jewish Christians who were having some struggles with what it meant to be Christian and what it meant to be Jewish and how all that fit in together. And so sometimes some of the application is going to be slightly different for us, but don't stress, because we have found an application every single week to make sure that this is going to help us come closer to God. So I just encourage you, if in your Bible studies, in your I Live groups, if you can, why not start going through the book of Hebrews, or in your own devotional time, feel free to go through the book of Hebrews, and we'll be doing a chapter each week. Okay, so feel free to study up if you like. But let me pray so we can get underway. Lord God, I praise you and thank you because you are a good God. And I want to thank you for the word. I want to thank you for the book of Hebrews because it's spoken to me so many times. And Lord, we invite you to speak to us again through the book of Hebrews, so that we may come closer to you and have a better understanding of the salvation of which you have given us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if you saw during the week, but all this news about Angus and Robertson and all the book borders and all the book places. Have you seen it on the news? Have all these book, what are they called? Bookshops, bookstores, whatever. They've gone into receivership because, you know, the internet has messed them up and all that sort of thing. So now everyone's worried that we're not going to have any of these bookshops anymore, and Australian authors are going to miss out, and all this sort of thing is going on. And it just reminded me of when I used to love going into bookshops and going around the back and to the spirituality section. And you can find all sorts of strange things in the spirituality section. There's like the Dummy's Guide to Hinduism, the Dummy's Guide to Christianity. There's all these different books, you know. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? And then there's also like the strange ones about crystals and about, you know, psychics and mediums and all that sort of thing. But one of the things that has always amazed me has been how many books there are on angels. And, you know, you can buy these little packs of cards with a different angel for a different day. I don't know where all this information comes from, but it's quite strange. All these angels and all that sort of thing. And then you can get a book on the angel of finance, who apparently, if you, I don't know if you worship or pray to this angel, apparently you get rich or something. But all these angels. And the book of Hebrews is talking about angels. In this first chapter, there's a lot to do with angels. But as I was growing up, I believed in angels because they were in the Bible. But if you started talking to me about I saw an angel, or an angel spoke to me, I would switch off pretty quickly and think, oh, I think you're going crazy. Because the only sort of angels that I sort of see are on the TV, and they're definitely not real, are they? So what we're going to start off with this morning is a quick look at what the Bible says about angels, okay? So that we don't get messed up. So let's go to the next slide, please. Here we go. Oh, no. Okay, so angels. So the first thing that angels do is that they speak. Actually, before we do this, how about I get some involvement from everyone? Some Bible stories involving angels. Just yell them out. Can you think of any? Christmas. Heaps in Christmas. When Jesus was born around that time. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Can we think of some other angels in the Bible? Daniel. And what were the angels doing in Daniel? Yeah, holding the lion's mouth shut. It's pretty cool. Come on, anyone else? Some more angel stories. Oh, yeah. Oh, judgment. They're scary angels, aren't they? Okay, who? Anyone else? Can you think of some more? Jacob? Yep, the angel of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. So they're pretty powerful, aren't they? But the main thing that angels are messengers. And that's what angel means. It means messenger. And so the first thing we see up here, sorry that the first row is sort of cut out a little bit, but the first thing is that they speak. They also restore strength in Daniel, he was fasting and he was weak, and the angel came and restored strength to him. Did the same thing to Jesus after the temptation. We see that angels have an army. We see that they protect, that they encourage, that they keep watch over us, that they save and deliver us. You know, who can remember, like in the book of Acts, when the angels break the disciples out of prison? That's exciting, isn't it? Yeah. They destroy wickedness. They help lead us to Christ. They set up appointments between people. We don't know how. But in Acts chapter 8, that's the story, I think it was Philip and the Ethiopian, how the angel told Philip to go and go over here, and as he was there, an Ethiopian went past who was reading the scripture, and he led him to the Lord and baptized him on that day. So the angel somehow set things up. In Hebrews 1, chapter 14, it says that they are here to serve. They serve those who are going to inherit the gospel. In Luke chapter 2, they declare the gospel. We spoke about the angels saying, Jesus the Messiah is coming. The good news is coming. And right throughout the book of Revelation and in Isaiah and all sorts of places in the Bible, we see that angels worship God. Okay, so that's angels. Now, what I want to do in just one tick is I actually want to look at demons, because they're both the same, but they have different motives. Okay, and this will come into the application part. But let's see them side by side now. Now, it's a little bit hard to see. Let me come up here so I get out of your way. But again, demons speak. We see that in the temptation of Jesus. Instead of restoring strength, they take it away. They afflict us. They have their own army in Ephesians 6. They're here not to protect, but to harm. They're not here to encourage us, but to tempt us and to torment us. They watch us. In 1 Peter, it says that the devil prowls around like a lion, seeing who he can devour. In John 10, it says that they've come to steal, kill, and destroy. But instead of destroying wickedness, they try to destroy righteousness. Instead of leading us to Christ, they try to lead us away from Christ. Instead of serving us, they try to enslave us. In Galatians 1, it says, if anyone preaches a gospel other than the one you have been preached to you, they should be condemned. And that's talking about angels in Galatians chapter 1. And lastly, we can't see it on the bottom because it's cut off, but instead of worshipping God, they've refused to worship God, and they want people to worship them, and they want to worship themselves. And so right from the beginning, their motives are very different. There we go, we can see it a little bit better. Their motives are different to angels. Now, hold that thought for just a moment while we go into a little bit of the historical side of who the Hebrews were. The Hebrews who this letter was written to were under pressure because they were Jewish Christians. So they had grown up Jewish, but now they are Christians. And they're beginning to look a lot different to the Jews, to the Jews. How about we call them Jews and Christian Jews so we don't get mixed up. So the Jews, well actually all the Jews, sorry, now I'm getting mixed up. All the Jews have grown up with all these laws, with all these rituals, with all these things that you must do. So if they were to go and touch someone, there was all this ceremonial cleaning that they had to do. Whenever they wanted to worship, whenever they wanted to walk, whenever they wanted to eat, whenever they wanted to sleep, whenever they wanted to do anything, they were bound by all these, all this law. And if we see in the Bible, where did I put my one? Anyway, it's disappeared. But when we see in the Bible, we see, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And if you go through there, you will be astounded at all the law that is in there that they had to try and abide by just to please God. And the idea was, the Jewish tradition was that angels had passed down this law to the Jewish people. So we see in the Ten Commandments that God passed that down. But then there's a heck of a lot more laws in there that the Jewish tradition says that the angels passed down because their minds were looking different. Instead of just having men going to church, now the men and women were gathering together in people's homes and they were praying together. All these boundaries were closing down. They could pray together. They were meeting together all the time. Instead of having all these laws, Jesus showed them a much better way to live. And so they were living different to the Jews. Not only that, but now that they were hanging out with Gentiles, people who weren't Jews, they thought, that's enough. This is getting a little bit too much. You're creeping a little bit too far away from real Judaism. And so they were saying, look, we know Jesus was a good guy and you guys like him, but the angels gave us this law, as if the angels had this sense of authority because they're from God. They say, look, the angels gave us this law, so you really should be sticking to the law, you know. And so they were trying to pull them away by saying, the angel said, this is where you are supposed to be. But the writer of the Hebrews says, well, I'm sorry, but Christ is superior to the angels, because the angels brought a message, and that message was that Jesus is coming. And to tell you the truth, even though angels are from God, Jesus is God. And that is made blatantly obvious in the beginning chapter of Hebrews, where it says that Jesus is the exact representation of God himself. So Jesus is God. Jesus is far more superior to what the angels are saying to you. Make sense? Yeah, that's good. But how do we apply that to ourselves? Put up your hand if you have Jewish friends calling you back to obey what the angels said. No one? Does anyone here have all these people telling you to come back and obey the law? The Jewish law, the Old Testament law? No. So we have to find a different application. But the application that we're going to take today is that we as Christians are under pressure, just like the Christian Jews were as well. We have different voices saying to us, don't do that, come and do this. Don't listen to Jesus, come and do this. And the three main voices that we hear that try to call us away is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Don't we say that? How about turn to the neighbor next to you and say, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. What does the world mean? Outside the church? Yep. Yeah, so like the culture of the times. Very good. So what does our culture tell us? How about we start with alcohol? It says that to be happy or to celebrate, you need alcohol. It says that drunkenness is fine. Binge drinking, go do it on the weekend. Just don't drink and drive. That's what our culture says. What about sex? It says that you can have as many sexual partners as you want. It says stuff, you know, just turn on the TV. It's disgusting. Even if we compare it to 5 or 10 years ago, the expectations and what is okay these days is nothing like it used to be. People in the media, you know, it's celebrated that Warney and Liz Hurley are getting together. And, you know, it's like this, they've got people staking out the front of Shane Warne's house with video cameras, just trying to get a glimpse of this new, you know, affair that they're having. It's horrible. But also the culture of our day tells us about materialism, about consumerism. If we get enough stuff, or if we buy the right things, we'll be okay. And, you know, if we get this, people will look at us differently. You know, all this sort of thing. The world is constantly speaking to us. It tells us to gossip. It tells us to get revenge. It tells us not to forgive people, but to hold on so that they don't get you back. And what does it tell us about sin? It says that, you know, if you sin, well, that's okay because we all sin. You know, and anyone can get to heaven, you know, because God's good. You know, the world tells us all these different things and tries to pull us away from God. The flesh is the next thing we should look at. And the flesh are our own desires. And we know that we all have desires that are not always of God, don't we? And often they go two different ways. The first way is like that real strong pride. And that pride that says, I don't need God. I can do life on my own. I don't need help. I'm good as I am. I don't need you. I can do whatever I want. On the other side, you've got those who are down the other, you know, finding life really hard. And they say, I can't do that. I'm too hurt. You say, maybe I'm feeling something and so I'm going to live this way. My feelings are determining the way I live. Maybe the flesh is saying, you know, I just can't do it. Or I need to control everyone. I need to control everything around me so that I don't get hurt again. The flesh speaks to us. The flesh tries to just appease whatever feelings we're having at the time. And lastly, the devil and demons. And as we've seen up on the screen, that they're very real and that they do things. In John 10, it says that the devil has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the devil will very happily steal and kill and destroy your dreams, your joy, your hope, your happiness, your peace, or will even try to pull you away from salvation, from knowing God. The devil will speak into you just little whispers of self-doubt, saying, you're not good enough. How could anyone possibly love you? What's so good about you? You can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not like that. And they'll say, it's impossible. That could never happen. As if the devil speaks to us sometimes. When I was at an Easter camp one year, I was walking around the room during the prayer time, just praying for people. And I sat down and I started leading this guy to Christ. And it was all going very well. And I sort of challenged him and said, okay, it's easy to be a Christian here, but what about when you go home? Can you be a Christian when you go to school? And so he started praying about that. And he was going quite well until all of a sudden, I saw him start shaking. I saw him sweating. And he was just going, oh, he was in a panic. I thought, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, the Lord just told me that the enemy was speaking to him. And so I just started praying. I said, oh, God, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but if he's hearing other voices tell him that it's not good enough and that he can't do this, I just command them in Jesus' name, stop. You know, these voices, you are not allowed here. I bind you in Jesus' name. You know, I just started praying like this, just in my head, quietly. And as soon as I said, amen, you should have seen the peace that came upon him. It was like he got victory. And he was free to hear God speak to him. But the point is this. The devil speaks to us. The world speaks to us. The flesh speaks to us. And the book of Hebrews is telling us that Christ is superior to what everything else is speaking to us. Christ is superior to the world. He is superior to the flesh. And he is superior to the devil. But as Christians, it's so easy to start beginning the lies that the devil gives us. It's so easy to start believing these things that the culture and that the world are giving us. And unless we're soaked in the Word of God, unless we're looking at what Jesus is saying, unless we look at what Jesus' life looked like, we're going to get trapped and we're going to become slaves to something that is not of God. And for too long, people have been trapped in poor thoughts and in defeat. But Christ is here to set us free. Christ is here to give you hope. Christ is here to give you peace and salvation. He is here to change your life, but we need to let him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have the best intentions for our life. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you have come to give us life and life in its fullness. And Jesus, we thank you that your word is true and that you never lie. And that because of that, we can trust you and put our faith in you.